This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everyone, and praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been thinking all week about various folks who in the New Testament encounter the Lord Jesus and trying to identify with them in some of the situations in which they find themselves. I don't know if you've noticed a pattern. On Tuesday, we talked about the rich young man, and there's a very real sense in which he was spiritually crippled. He was a righteous young man, and yet he lacked the most important thing, his relationship with God. Jesus said, "You got to get rid of the false god and come follow me." But he wasn't willing to do so. And he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He remained spiritually crippled. Yesterday we talked about the woman at the well, and she was morally crippled. This was a lady who had gone from house to house, from bed to bed, from husband to husband, seeking to be satisfied through a relationship with another human being, and obviously still unsatisfied, willing to be castigated and despised by the folks who lived in her town because they saw her for what she was, morally crippled. But when she met Jesus, somebody who knew her for what she was, knew her as she was, and loved her anyway, it changed her life. If the rich young man walked away sorrowful, this woman at the well dashed away full of joy and told all of her friends, "I've met Messiah." I want to come to John chapter 5 this morning and talk about a man who was physically crippled, a spiritual cripple, a moral cripple, and now a physical cripple. Chapter 5 and verse 2, "There is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool," in Hebrew Bethesda, "which has five porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed." Why? Well, because they believed, rightly or wrongly, that that was a place where God visited the sick with healing, something like modern-day Lourdes in France, that if you're there at the right time, you might receive a touch from God. And so there's a multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed. And verse 5 says, "One man in particular was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there for a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?'" You might think, what a superfluous question. Obviously he wants to be healed. Why else would he be there? But I wonder if it really is. I've been around enough folks who have been sick for the long haul to begin to notice something. Sometimes, as much as with part of themselves they might wish to be better, there's something awfully comfortable about being invalid, about being waited on hand and foot, about being the center of attention, about having people make excuses for you when you're obnoxious. You know, if the invalid gets well, he's got to go back to work. He's got to take responsibility. He's got to become a producer. I wonder, if the truth be known, would we always really want to give up the things that cripple us? Do you want to be healed? And the sick man answers him, not directly, but notice how he reveals his presuppositions. He says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. And when I'm trying to get down, somebody else steps in before me." What's he saying? He's saying, of course I want to be healed. That's why I'm here. And yes, I know that God can heal me. He heals at this pool, and I've come to be healed. But the problem is I can't get into the water. Apparently, the belief was that an angel from God came and stirred the water, and when he did so, the first one into it received healing. In essence, the man is saying, God can heal that way, but no other. Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" And this guy says, "Well, I know it's got to be in this one way and no other way available." But Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And the scripture says, at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Jesus isn't limited to any one way. There's a marvelous story told about two men who met each other in Jerusalem, and they began chatting, and they realized that both of them had been blind, and both of them had been healed by the Lord Jesus. And the one said to the other, well, tell me how he did it. And the second man said, well, he just spoke to me and said, be healed. And I was healed. I could see again. And the first man said, no, it can't be that way. He's got to spit on the ground and make some clay and rub it on your eyes and send you to the pool to wash. You see the point. Jesus isn't limited to any one way. Is your Jesus big enough to meet your need, even if it's in a totally surprising way? He was big enough for this man's need. But isn't it interesting? He says, rise, take up your bed, take up your pallet, and walk. He doesn't say, just get up. He says, pick up your bed and carry it with you. And immediately that creates all sorts of stir and fuss as people are looking at him. We discover in the next verse that it happens to be the Sabbath. I sometimes think that Jesus took an inverted delight in breaking the Sabbath just to make a point. The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. The Son of God is the Lord of the Sabbath. This man is commanded to take up his pallet and walk. Why do you suppose that was? Well, I suspect at least two reasons. Number one, it bears visible witness to everybody. If that man had just gotten up and slipped away in the crowd, he would have known that he'd been visited by God, but who else would have noticed? God wants us to give him the glory when he moves in our lives. But secondly, I've noticed, and I suspect you may have too, that oftentimes the very thing that has been a problem to us, a crippling kind of problem, a bondage, when Jesus Christ touches us in that area, when he heals us, when he releases us from it, he often gives us a ministry in precisely that area. Have you noticed that? The fellow who's been nearly destroyed by alcoholism, and God saves him from alcoholism, tends to be the one that has a ministry with other alcoholics. He doesn't just say, be healed. He says, pick up the thing which has been the symbol of your bondage, the symbol of being crippled, and I'm going to give that back to you. You're going to carry it instead of it carrying you from this point on. You know, we live in a generation when there are all sorts of crazy things being taught about healing. People are saying that all you need to do is claim your healing. It's God's will to heal, and therefore I am healed, and I claim it. I'm interested that on this particular day, Jesus came to a place where there was a multitude of sick, and yet the only one who was healed, as far as we know, is this one man. And it's not a matter of his claiming it. It's a matter of what Jesus Christ said to him personally. Jesus saw something in this man, saw a receptiveness, saw a readiness. Perhaps it was just in his mercy that Jesus singled out this particular man, and he said, I want you to rise up off that sick bed. Rise up and walk and carry your pallet. There's a very fine line between faith and presumption. I would urge you this day that if you have a particular problem, what you need to do with it is you need to wait upon Jesus. You need to hear what he's saying in a personal way to you. And when he speaks to you, then you stand upon it. Don't take it because somebody else says so. Don't take it because some philosophy says so. Don't take it because some scripture verse quoted out of context says so. You wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he speaks to you, then you act. You know, I'm also struck by the fact that this man had to act. I wonder if there might not have been a moment, just a moment, when he's still lying on that bed, hearing the word of Jesus, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the thought flashes through his mind, well, what is this about? Is he mocking me? I can't rise up and walk. That's why I'm here. Can't he see that I'm crippled? And yet he looked into the eyes of Jesus. He looked into that countenance of love. and something else began to stir inside of him. Maybe, just maybe, he has the power to pull it off. And so for just the briefest moment, that man was caught in indecision. Is he mocking me, or does he have the power to pull it off? And he had to take a risk that day. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. But you know, he had to roll over off that pallet onto those spindly little legs, those withered legs that hadn't supported him for 38 years. He had to ease his weight onto those legs, and, you know, maybe he'll just fall flat on his face. Maybe he's going to hurt himself worse than he was to begin with. Maybe people are going to laugh at him for being so foolish, but he had to take the risk. And when he did so, he found power surging through those muscles. They were rebuilt in an instant, and he danced and leapt and ran and sang the praises of this Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you today, whatever problem you might be facing, that Jesus Christ has the power to make it well again. Jesus Christ can heal you physically, or he can heal you in any other area of your life. Don't look anywhere else but at him. Don't take it because somebody else says so. Don't take it because even I say so. But you look at Jesus Christ. You wait upon him, and as he begins to speak to you, whatever he tells you, you do. Take the risk. Take the risk. Roll over onto those atrophied little legs and let him fill them with power again. This is the Jesus that excites me. This is the Jesus who would touch you with health and wholeness and strength and joy. And that's the inside story.